I'm Crystal Kawula, lead coordinator for MVP Days, Canada's foremost MVP technical roadshow. And I'm here today with Dave Kawula, Hyper-V MVP, technical evangelist for a few different companies, as well as accomplished author. Today we're going to speak a little bit about Hyper-V security.
Yeah, Crystal, Hyper-V security is one of those gray areas inside of a lot of organizations. A lot of companies have stood up new infrastructure and, you know, just due to the fact that they had to grow so quickly, security was kind of left in the rearview mirror, so to speak. And so now what we're finding is that a lot of organizations are having to come circle back around to this particular very important topic, which is securing their infrastructure, specifically Hyper-V.
So what are some of the things that people are missing that they need to be taking into account when setting up their Hyper-V?
Well, I think one of the biggest areas that I've seen inside of corporate environments is the lack of antivirus that actually runs on the either Hyper-V guests or the host partition itself. I can't tell you how many of my customers were actually hit by viruses in the last 24 months. And this causes huge issues inside their infrastructure, downtime, which causes, you know, issues for employees and their productivity. And it's just overall a bad situation for all that are involved. And that's probably the number one biggest area. Now, we've got quite a few other items that I'd like to take and that I'd like to clean up inside their infrastructure, but that's probably the biggest one.
So why, I mean, we install antivirus on pretty much everything. Why are people missing that step when it comes to Hyper-V?
So when we look at how virtualization has evolved over the course of the past 5 to 10 years, one of the big challenges that organizations have had is they've taken and they've overloaded their virtual infrastructure. And because they've overloaded their virtual infrastructure, it becomes very difficult to put another agent or something onto those host servers or virtual machines that's going to do any type of scanning, especially file-based or block-based scanning on that infrastructure, because what it does is it creates an I/O storm inside the infrastructure, and that can dramatically slow things down. So for example, if we want to run real-time antivirus scans during the day or just full system scans, it becomes very difficult to do that in a production environment.
Okay, so the obvious question is then, what's the solution?
So the solution is to take and to try to find an antivirus vendor / product that will take and allow you to scan from the host partition without having to take and install any agents inside of your guest VMs, as well as taking and not causing those boot storms. Now, I happen to be doing some work for a vendor called Five9 Software, mm-hmm. and, you know, not to shamelessly plug the work that I do with them, but they've done they've done a fantastic job building an antivirus solution that works for Hyper-V environments. This purpose-built for Hyper-V. It's not for VMware environments. They only run inside of Hyper-V, and they've eliminated a lot of those issues. So, you know, go ahead, check them out, www.five9.com.
You can put that along the bottom on here.
Yeah, you'll see it. There'll be some type of a URL that'll pop up eventually in editing when we go through this.
Okay, so besides antivirus, what else do we need to take into account when we're doing our Hyper-V environments?
Well, I think the next big item that we have to look at for our Hyper-V environments is reducing the attack surface. And this is a really big issue because a few days ago, there was a critical security flaw that was actually released against Hyper-V. And Microsoft has taken and they've announced a rapid published hotfix for this. So the issue is there. It's been identified. Microsoft has a fix for this. The knowledge base article, you're going to see it popping past your screen here in a minute.
Pop that up too?
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be knowledge base article 307/2000. And basically this little guy is pretty nasty. What'll end up happening is that for pretty much every version of Hyper-V, you will take and you'll be able to exploit the parent partition from one of the guests running within. So that's kind of scary stuff. So the moral of this story is that, you know, you want to make sure you stay up to date on your Hyper-V hotfixes, on your Hyper-V patches, and you really have to make that of top priority. Probably even more important than the antivirus discussion that we were just having.
Okay, so a question. When you're doing your patching, your updating, and all that kind of stuff, does your regular Windows updates patch at all, or do you need to go in and specifically look for those hot fixes?
So the real answer is it depends. So the previous way of patching Hyper-V servers, pretty much everything would come down with specific custom hot fixes that you had to download post installation. Now Microsoft is changing things so that most of the updates come down with the general Windows updates.
Okay, and what version does that change?
I don't know if it was specifically a version, but Microsoft was just kind of changing the models. I don't know the exact date, but it was fairly recently. And so what's ended up happening is that as long as you stay up to date with your Windows update catalogs, your WSUS infrastructure, SCCM, or however you're patching, the infrastructure, then you should be fine, right? And if not, then there can still be specific hot fixes as well. And so the answer really is it varies. It depends, I guess.
Okay. I've got a note here about enabling Windows Firewall and blocking unnecessary firewall rules. Is that something we also need to pay attention to?
Well, and this is particularly important when you start looking at cloud environments, where you're looking at multi-tenants and you're looking to secure environments and stuff like that. So Microsoft has introduced a concept called network virtualization. Mm-hmm. And network virtualization does a great job of taking and securing individual environments. But what if customers want to secure at a deeper level, even within those virtualized networked environments? They want to secure between a development and a test environment, but it's all kind of inside the same bubble. So dealing with your antiviruses, your ports and stuff like that are also going to be really important. So, you know, you can either use a traditional Windows firewall, or you can use something like Five9 Cloud Security, which adds firewall extensions, which actually directly integrate with the Hyper-V extensible vSwitch.
Another shameless plug for Five9.
Another shameless plug. Simon will be happy with me.
All right.
So another big one, just along the attack surface, is Microsoft is going to be releasing their next generation of Hyper-V server very soon. And so a lot of us have actually had a chance to play with this recently. And this next version coming out is going to be coming out on Windows Server 2016. And one of my probably number one favorite new features in regards to securing your Hyper-V servers and stuff like that is coming from the release of a new version of Hyper-V server called Nano Server.
Okay.
It is the absolute smallest footprint that Microsoft has ever come out with for their hypervisor. And so what this means is going to be less patches, less chance of compromise, less risk of taking and having issues inside of your farms. And so we're going to see that as being one of the really big new features that's going to be of kind of paramount importance.
So when securing your VMs, when you're securing your Hyper-V environment, with your antivirus and all that loaded, is that going to really slow down performance of those VMs? Is that one of the reasons that we're missing that step or skipping that step?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a similar type concept of taking and running any agent on a virtual environment. The moment you start doing file level scans, you have to think that you're going to be opening every single file that's potentially associated with that virtual machine, virtual hard disks that are associated with them. And what happens is that does generate a lot of I/O, unnecessary I/O on the infrastructure. So, you know, you have to take a look at a solution that will not do that. Okay. So, all right.
Anything else you wanted to touch on briefly on the subject before we move on to something else?
No, I think we're good. Why don't we do this? Why don't we take a quick break and we'll come back here in a few minutes.
Sounds good. speaking about Hyper-V security. Tell me a little bit about integration services and the latest on the integration services in the newer versions.
So let's step back before we start talking about the newer stuff that's going to come. And let's look at the way that traditionally we've had to deal with integration services in the past in regards to Hyper-V. So this introduces a concept that I've kind of invented called integration services drift. And what integration services drift is when we have a multitude of versions of the integration services and their respective components of varying versions across our Hyper-V infrastructure. So in layman's terms, server 1 VM 1 has version 1. Server 1 VM 2 has version 2, 3, and then some of the other ones have 1 and 2 and so on. And they're all over the place. Now the problem is that when those integration services get updated, they're probably updated for a very good reason by Microsoft. Could have been fixing exploits, could have been fixing performance issues. We could have had blue screen issues for all intents and purposes. And when we take a look at having to deal with this, it's been very painful in the past. So, you know, with the newer, later versions that are coming out, it's going to be easier. But today, this is what we have to deal with. We update our Hyper-V host servers, either with Windows Update or with specific Hyper-V hotfixes. When those update rollups come down to your Hyper-V host servers, what ends up happening is the integration services versions increment. They go up on the Hyper-V host servers. So when I go to build a brand new virtual machine, it will always have that latest and greatest version of integrated services and those components installed. All the drivers will be up to date, performance will be great, things will be running really well. And all my old VMs won't. So we have to actually go through a process of updating those. Now, there's been some really good enhancements that have come out. And if you actually take a look on your screen here, you're going to see a URL pop up there. There's a really awesome Hyper-V reporting toolkit that's available in the TechNet scripting library. That's great. If you're looking for something a little bit more advanced, I know that Veeam and Five9 have comprehensive reporting suites that report specifically on Hyper-V integration services drift. They won't necessarily call it that because, like I said, I made up that term. I'm an MVP. I'm allowed. Do you know what I'm allowed to do that. So,
do we know what it's called? Or we'll post it up there.
Yeah, there's no real term for it. It's just integration services reporting. Okay. I call it a drift because there's a drift between, you know, different servers that are out there. So you really want to make sure that you stay up to date with these things. Now, the difference in Windows Server 2016 and how Microsoft has addressed this in the future is those updates for integration services and those components are going to come natively via Windows updates inside of the guest infrastructure on your virtual machines. So it's going to be much easier. You don't have to physically install something from the parent partition into the guest VMs. So that's going to make our lives a lot easier for sure.
Excellent. All right. So virtual machines, when you're not using them, what are you supposed to do?
Well, you have to be careful with your virtual machines and your virtual infrastructure. Specifically, you want to be careful leaving your Hyper-V consoles open because for all intents and purposes, when we're working inside that Hyper-V infrastructure as administrators, we're typically logged in with some elevated credentials. So you walk away from your machine, you forget to lock it. You know, somebody could take and social engineer their way into your data center. Now they got full access to your stuff. So make sure you close unnecessary virtual machine consoles. The other thing is you really want to be considering locking down your unused virtual machines, because if they're not in use, somebody could actually in theory just do a plain old file copy, grab your virtual hard disks. It's kind of the same principle as walking into your data center, stealing a hard drive out of one of your servers and just taking it away. So you want to think about how you can take and protect that infrastructure. Now, there is a way to actually do that. Microsoft comes in with built-in encryption capabilities. So we could actually take and secure our Hyper-V host servers with BitLocker. And so if
native in the OS already.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't have to take and buy anything else. It's going to be there natively. And, you know, anybody can use it. They just have to take and set up and configure it accordingly.
Okay. What about securing your snapshot and checkpoint files?
Yeah, this is another one because what you have to understand about snapshots and checkpoint files in Hyper-V is these contain the running memory and the state of that virtual machine. So along the same lines of securing your hard disks, your virtual hard disks and stuff like that, you want to also make sure you're locking down and securing those checkpoints as well. Somebody could, in theory, walk away with some pretty important information.
Excellent. All right. What else would you like to speak about?
I think the next one is would be take a look at hardening your guest operating system.
Okay.
I see a lot of customers just doing
Basic.
stock basic installs of Windows Server, and especially in your virtual environments, you want to be really cognizant about either what you're putting onto that virtual infrastructure, or how you're locking it down. Now, you can take kind of it's a double-edged sword, where on one side you want manageability, on the other side you want security, and you have to really find a fine line with that for your virtual environment builds. I would suggest to the people that are watching this video is you really want to evaluate your standard operating environment build procedures for your Windows servers, because I find a lot of organizations just go ahead and they build infrastructure and they don't have that. And if you're not familiar with what standard operating environment builds are, you can take a look at the link that I've got up here, and it'll get a little bit more reference information for that. Basically, it's prescriptive guidance. It's your gold build standards that you have for infrastructure. It can take organizations a long time to actually build that infrastructure out. And I've seen, some organizations take years to get to the point where, they're working through their standard operating environments. In fact, one of my customers has just released their Windows Server 2012 builds to us. A few releases behind, but we're happy enough to get
At least
off
I
of
got
Windows
them.
2008. So yeah, no, it's all good. I think one of the next things that we'll go through here as well, in this series of Hyper-V security, one of the things that we want to focus on, this being our first episode, we just kind of wanted to talk a little bit about some of the general topics that are out there today. But we're going to get right into doing some demonstrations in the next
Okay.
set of videos. And so we want to continue this on as kind of a cool little series. And that's it from the MVP side.
That's it from the MVP Days side. So, thank you for joining us, and hopefully you'll join us for a few more episodes as we get them produced. Thank
Thanks.
you.